Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
All right, and Thabiseng is in studio. I mean, Thabiseng, I think she thinks at the moment, yo, better you than me. I'd rather be doing what I'm doing than to be dealing with political matters. Hello, Thabiseng.
Good evening, Ospimela.
How are you?
Tired. How are you?
You always bring problems.
You always bring problems.
So this discussion is going to get people hot under the collar.
Yes.
Because I don't think people think through some of these matters. Sometimes, remaratong.
Huh?
Sweetie.
You see, when you start like this, I'm going to laugh throughout the entire thing.
Until. That's how we say, I was on a sweetie. Hey, baby. if you are lucky, we say, otherwise, kia when. At that point,
it's over.
Alisa thole libua gadi lawyers.
Yeah, no.
So I want to maybe clarify one or two things. When you speak of people who are married in commuter property,
yes,
and then Thabiseng has got a law firm. Thabiseng is thriving, ne? But Thabiseng has married in commuter of property.
Yeah.
Everything is going well. Does it have to be as formal and as structured as Ntabisa's law firm, or can it be Nalispazasaka, and maybe, you know, the way in which my spaza is structured is that I haven't registered anything with anybody. I'm just Nalispaza. And I just take from hand to mouth, Rereka, from the kitty, and that's how we have managed this thing. Does it have to be structured?
Doesn't have to be structured.
So it means li spotinya na saka sa di cigarette. It means it's also part of this deal.
Correct. That's why I wanna, when it comes to marriage in community of property, in fact, any marriage, I always say, deciding which contract works for you as the parties has absolutely nothing to do with love. There's no such thing that you or something that you should think of. If Ntabiseng are ke batla re nyalane out of community property, it means you don't love me. It means you don't trust me. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. Because with that community of property, it's community of everything. Not just the assets, but also the liabilities. So now, there you are in a business, in a marriage, and then you decide to open a business, or you came with this business into the marriage, and you chose not to opt for an ANC or anything of the sort. So let's say the formalized one, wherein you registered with CIPC and all of those things. There's an MOI that's there. The standard one, which you did not amend, because when you started the business, there was no real idea that I'm going to get married or anything of the sort. And when the marriage came, you also did not change that MOI to fit what you would deem a perfect solution for the marriage contract that you are entering in. So now, what does that mean? It means that the business shareholding, so the actual business itself, the liabilities and the assets belong to the juristic person, which is Dubazana Attorneys in this particular instance, right? So all the assets and liabilities belong to that, but the shareholding of that business is within the ambit or the spec of in community of property. So, should this business go south?
It's so you must, you know, we must always look at the worst case scenario,
not the best case scenario.
So the best case scenario is that we're now, of course, you want to be within.
Yeah.
You want to be within because you think this is going to be flourishing.
Correct.
Problem. You don't think of when it's not flourishing.
Yes. And that's where the real problem starts.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you are. The business has been going for 18 years. And now problems start happening. There's been a lot of lending here. There's been a lot of borrowing there. And no real repayment that is happening. So now you're in business not only with yourself, but there's somebody else who you're a business partner with.
And let's talk about those implications. Because Ntabiseng, sometimes people just think it's just sofa song, you know, that whole thing. Sofa song, we're in this together, my darling, my sweetheart, my what.
Yes.
However, there are serious implications for even your career.
Correct.
For instance, so if you are working for the financial services sector and your spouse has found himself in the mess, you are not going to be getting a job.
That's correct.
Because you are not supposed to be in financial trouble if you're working in the financial services sector.
Correct. And now when these problems start coming and then the creditors are coming, the first thing they're going to try and do is sell the movable assets of the property. But if they can't recoup their monies from selling the chairs and the desks, they're now going to look into selling the immovable property itself, which is maybe the building wherein Kaya has bought this entire place. But if that doesn't work as well, now we are going to go into your personal lives, because this is where we go. The company, now we go look at you as the director, because you have the liabilities there. And if we see that you're married in community of property as creditors,
they say, there's somebody else. There's somebody else.
Yes.
Let's talk about something over and above that.
Mm.
Where you may not be in community of property.
Yes.
You thought you were being responsible. But this is my sweetie Lavo, right? My sweetie Lavo is starting a business, and my sweetie Lavo maybe wanted a loan to start this business. And Ntabi Seng wanted some money from the bank. The bank said, no, sure. But, you know, Ntabi Seng, man, you know, you don't have assets. You don't have much. Shoriti. Usi. Okay, you know, we need something.
Yeah.
Then you say, you know, my husband, my husband can help. They say, great, great. Then your poor husband signs surety.
Yeah.
Ne? And then things go well until you are in trouble. You are not in community of property, but he signed surety for you.
Yes.
Problems.
Yes. A lot of problems go there. And the bank, if they can't recoup from you, they're going to go to the surety, because he's the one who's saying, I know this person doesn't have sufficient funds or assets or whatever to back up the fact that they can repay this loan, but I'm saying I've got you. And they're like, okay, you said you've got this person. Bring the money.
Because you did commit to
you
having his back.
To it.
You did commit to having his back.
Yes.
Should things go wherever they're going to go.
Correct. And these are the things that are not thought about when we are sitting together and we're brainstorming and we have this beautiful idea, or we've done it informally for quite some time. Now we're thinking it's time to make it formal. Pamela and Tabi say, I'm going to do this big thing together. But then you're forgetting, Ntabi Seng is married in community of property. It doesn't even come as an issue. Only later, when the business, we'll deal with the pot of divorce and when people die and what claims they have. But when the business goes down south, Pemelo has an out, because she can maybe sell her assets or whatever the case may be. And then when that part is done, the other 50% now goes to the spouse of Ntabi Seng, who was party to the business by virtue of pure marriage, wasn't involved in the day-to-day running, just knew it's there, supported Ntabi Seng through and through, but really didn't care to be involved in that way. But now the kid's home is going to be sold to pay for all the mistakes Pamela and Ntabi Seng did when they were in business.
Okay, so how do we protect the home?
Yes.
Can you still be supportive and protect some assets, like the family home? Is it possible?
It is. So let's say the business starts after...
I get it. Let's start from a position of when things are good. Laratana and all that, right? And Shem, you can help. Huh? This husband of yours can help. They have the means. Mm. And you've been begging and you've been begging. And yeah, okay, fine. I will help you. Can he still protect himself while he helps you?
He can. But the first thing, can it not be from a point of love? Can it be a point of business?
That's not how people think.
That's why we're trying to drum it in their heads now.
Family meeting, Hantati. No, Ntabi said it always goes back there.
I know.
Where people assume if you say no, it means how murad.
Lenyalo is a contract. It's a business. Can we remove the love for a second out of this situation? Because that's where you're gonna start protecting each other from each other.
Baraki contract. Did you guys hear? It's got nothing to do with love.
It has absolutely nothing to do with love. So if it so happens that the business starts maybe 10 years into the marriage, when you register your MOI, that's where you can save yourself in the business. Structure it. And so go see an attorney, obviously, who will be able to make that MOI make sense, so that if and when the marriage dissolves, because it will dissolve either by death or by divorce, one way or another, marriage is going to dissolve. So we need to make sure that that MOI.
Aye, guys.
So you should
was like, aye.
It will dissolve. Lerato in this. Marriage is going to dissolve by divorce or death, one way or another. So we need to make sure before we enter into it, we've sorted out all the nitty-gritties that need to be sorted out. So make sure that now that the situation is that you start in the business a few years into the marriage, the MOI makes sense to protect any assets, any shareholding rights and everything in that business, so that come the dissolution of the marriage, the business goes unscathed, right?
So what would it be? Would you, what, where would you then ring fence the business?
At the inception stage, if it's starting when the marriage has already existed, but if it started at a point where by it was before you married.
So if you meet the person, and you already had the business, I get it automatically, they just somehow inherit. No?
Yes.
They do.
Mm-hmm. It got the marriage in community of property. That's how they automatically inherit.
Yes.
So the best way to do it before Linyalo, you enter into a marriage with your antenuptial contract in place, to be specific, to exclude Kaya FM as a business from the joint estate, if you're going to have an accrual system attached to everything.
If this business is established, as you said, 10, 15 years after the marriage,
then that's where the MOI, before you start trading, before you do what, as you register, when CIPC sends you that email that this is your MOI, then you change that MOI and you register that MOI to be what it is you want your business to be like. So the MOI is basically the constitution of the business, what it's going to be like, what the shareholdings is going to be like, how everything about how your business is going to be run and what it's going to look like, and who is going to be a beneficiary of it, etc., etc. Those things you put in your MOI, you put it up with SCIPC, then they remove the one that they had automatically created and then that one, the one that you did, is now replaced with that one, and then you can trade in peace.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, folks, let's take those calls on 086 000 00959. We can ask other questions, right? Any other questions? 063 688 0959. That's where you can send those voice notes. So Tabi saying, my business is small, man. Kispaza. Hakona CIPC mo. It's just my little container. And I die. What then? And then batlotla balwana. Family. Kimwana rona ki container ya rona. And the container, you can't split it, Mus. Container, it is a sebezi. Because balwana. Kuna lo tuering loko, kuna lo tuering kuri iba that kind of situation. Omunga bari, imo jarte nyaka. Maybe container ekolon, abo. Omunga bari, marstoko se, kisamusadu waka.
Yes, yes.
Omunga bari, nagi turiskiya.
So in that instance, I can't get any proof in the sense that the bank accounts. Because la hibelis paza or collect a chalet, why ain't already deposit?
Yes.
It's not all the time what was like cash and then you're going to buy with that cash.
Every day, yes.
Every day. So there's going to be proof that money came person was trading, and therefore I can show that this money was supporting our household as a result, and therefore that spaza that you are now claiming forms part of the joint estate.
Wait, spaza sikobona, family house.
Yes,
we've spoken about family house.
Yeah,
spaza
yes.
Si. Yeah. Container equal family house.
Mm.
Yeah, una trader supporting family, but it's at the family house. The family people are saying it's at the family house container.
Mm.
That's where the problem comes in.
And that's why I'm saying the problem doesn't matter. I can prove that container that's in the family house supported the household, Yaron, not that house. So there's no way you're going to claim all of that.
But Narthusa.
Oh no, the immovable structure, you can keep that. But everything that relates to what the trading
is.
Then in that case, claim against the estate for maintenance. But how not to get unke anything that is within there? It is not yours.
Whose does it belong? Who does
it belongs to the deceased, and therefore it belongs to me as the surviving spouse.
Huh? So in this instance, surviving spouse owns what?
Everything.
Including the structure?
No. If the structure was not bought or was not built by the deceased, ne?
You contain. So,
container yon irekuwe ki the deceased Afrika yalo bewa mola. Therefore hasiya the family. It just was renting the earth in mobu that
Mare.
Was there.
Rent ne siyo in this discussion because nobody talked about urpatela bukana or patile bukana. Neba ki wana montu unartusa hanartusa. And khonali banaba ditlogolwana khonale banaba ba mosibane ba nne khonale banaba ba Osman mane ning ning o patala school fees ning ning ba wa bona
yeah
unartusa no was na rent ka hore ke jarteng ya go gae
then lane mathata you should have asked for rent. So since ala batla rent you have no leg to stand on, zero leg to stand on actually. Because the surviving spouse owns everything. The way Ilinkateng
guys, I want you to listen to this. Lamutan tabi say, yeah, the surviving spouse owns la halisa mobatli.
Yes.
Surviving spouse owns
everything.
La halisa mobatli.
It is so bad that if you die without a will, ebe estate ya how let's say it's less than 500,000 in total. Or you're not 250 on the dot. Even the minor children born of that marriage will not benefit because the estate is not big enough for the beneficiaries, Iling Bana, to benefit. Everything belongs to the surviving spouse. That's why you get so many calls. Hohabaning, Papa ka ola hloka hala. Yaba stepmother sinkan tongulungwe. Lena le bana beso ga thola anything. Or Papa ka ola hloka hala. My mom never gave us everything or anything. But how much about estate? How much was the estate worth? Remember, already in that joint estate, there's already a 50% situation if you're married in community of property. Now, of that 100, already automatically 50 belongs to the spouse, even when you're alive. The remaining 50, she owns 50 in that one. And then over and above that, she's entitled to what we call a child's share or 250,000, whichever one is the greatest. So if the estate in total is worth 300,000, what is a child going to get there? Absolutely nothing. So that's why you should die with a will. So that someone somewhere benefits. And even in a will, you can't disinherit your spouse, unfortunately. Automatically, by law, in community of property, they already have a 50% stake in everything that you're disposing of. Automatically.
Okay. We don't have stress. And he wants to ask, so how do I change this thing? Yeah, 50%.
Selele already married.
Mm.
So you approach a court. you make an application to change your marital regime from in community of property to out of community of property. It's fairly simple, really straightforward. The only catch is that it has to be, you have to inform all the creditors that you have, your bond, loan, all your creditors, you inform them, this is my intention. And they have to say if they are objecting to your marital regime changing, because it is beneficial for them for you to be married in community or property, so that if you fail to pay, they can go after your spouse.
Mm.
But if Bashaba, there are records or upatala handle, most of the time they don't object, and then it becomes an unopposed matter. You change your marital status, and Bob's your uncle, or you can do a post-nuptial contract, and then you know that could be then attached, and then take it forward. It changes your marital regime. But I always advocate rather just go through the courts, because sometimes that post-nuptial contract can be challenged to say it was forced upon me, I didn't understand, and therefore you find that marriage actually falls back to what it was, which was in community of property. Rather just have a court order that says the marriage has officially been changed from in community of property to out, with either accrual or no accrual, whatever the case may be. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, let's open those lines up. 0636880959. Send those voice notes through, and we can call on 0860000959. All right, let's get through those calls. 0860000959. You can send those voice notes on 0636880959. Thabo is calling from Kagiso. Good evening and welcome, Thabo.
I just wanted to ask, this is relating to business, doing business with the government. I just want to find out our legal spend with regards to business with the government. As a subcontract. So with regards to that, where do we stand right now, where we get a subcontract opportunity to be the main contract to do a particular job, and then obviously there is this legislature 30% where the main contractor is compelled to hire local businesses and get them to participate in that project.
Yeah.
And then once then they offer you the opportunity, you become part of that, and then eventually they end up not paying you. And the bona they get paid and so forth. So basically but when you went in through that legislation already, there must be that 30% which is the law. Where you have to participate as a local business. Obviously, as a small, how many the funds staying up who runs and leave the main contract and legal, you know?
Yes.
And also, even the client there, I mean, contractor, which is the government, can have enough funds to fight that. Legally, can the government represent us and fight our battle? Can we also hold the government accountable in that regard? And knowing where the client, the government, is the main contract. So now the client, they are the main contract. So I want to contractively the role.
Yes.
But the retaining legislature in Aori, the main contractor must include 30% of the local business.
I think I want
to.
I think you've answered yourself, Rabani. You don't have a contract directly with the government, right? So what, like you said, the legislature says that the contractor who is now working for a specific government entity to build or whatever the case may be, ne, has an obligation to hire a 30% local people who can assist, but it doesn't say whom. So it could have been a situation that it hires individuals whom they would direct to say that they work as part of the staff of the main contractor, right? But instead, they chose to subcontract you guys because they do not have the specific skills that are needed to carry out their mandate that they have with the city or with the government or whatever. Ne? So now, as a result, the contract that is binding on the state is the one that they have with the one that with the people that they signed it with. It they cannot represent you as such to fight for you to get money from the person whom they had paid and chose not to pay you guys. This is what the government would see it as, wasteful expenditure or irregular expenditure, because they would have to explain why it is that they are paying a subcontractor whom they didn't even know, quote unquote, existed, because their contract is specifically with Dubazana Contracting, for example, and not with your contract, with your company. So they would then have to account to their accounting officer, who will then say, Eman, this doesn't exist, so why did we pay these people? And then they find themselves in trouble.
So, what then happens if then the government in a listing or reserve certain funds if the main contractor on a big issue personally or maybe is not satisfied to some funds that they can recoup to address whatever issues that they have.
Okay.
Which is money that they would obviously pay if to the main contractor if after some service.
So
those funds are reserved, they are kept, and then normally issued on a year.
So in that,
doesn't that legally compel them to say, since every Rona government is playing gambala, you need to involve local businesses at 30%, and when you paid you some funds, we've reserved some funds to address whatever issues we have. Since that is the case, we can then use those funds to settle the challenges.
No, it's not automatic, because what would happen is that they would still have to run it back to council, and then council has to now go through it and put it as an item in their council meeting to say that Dubazana Contracting ran away and did not pay the people that they had subcontracted here. We do have, as you know, X amount of money that's set aside to deal with situations as this, but without there being something written down that confirms that the city or whoever it is that you're in contract with in terms of the state is now going to use that surplus money to pay for the people that are remaining. They will still be viewed, that spending is going to be viewed as irregular expenditure. So it has to be sent back to council. Either they make it something wherein you bid to take over the contract, or it is a note that needs to be discussed that let us pay these people. They've made a claim. They've shown that they had a subcontract with the person that ran away. As a result, will the accounting officer then take it off, and then the speaker or whoever of council makes it so, and then they vote, and then everything is done correctly, and then it is formed into part of a contract or a notice, and then it is sent to you as the company, and then you as the company say, okay, kyaleboha, and then they pay the money into your account. It doesn't happen automatically. They have to follow their own internal procedures first, and if it's approved by council, then it can go back to you wherein you can claim or be paid that kind of money. So you have to sit down with the city and see if you can come to that kind of agreement.
Okay, so it's possible it can be done, but it can't come out. It has to go through that.
Yeah, it's possible. It's not a guarantee, but it's possible.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Butabo. Right, thank you so much. All right, Renali, a voice note as well.
Just want to find out, if you happen to be in court, when are you eligible for the next person who you are against in court to be liable for lawyer fees? I don't know if I'm putting it right, because I sometimes see that whoever is being accused sometimes gets to be liable for court attorney fees or lawyer fees of the complainant. So when can that happen? At what stage or at what scenario?
All right, so costs come at the end of all civil matters, right? Sometimes there are costs that are awarded as the matter goes through. If somebody made an error, somebody didn't appear for a postponement, or you made an application for a postponement, and it's called wasted costs.
Mm-hmm.
But there's usually costs within the cause. So in other words, you won't pay them right then and there. You will pay them at the end of all civil litigation. And even with costs, they are divided. It's not automatic that if you paid 100,000 to your attorney and you are granted costs, that you're going to get 100,000. So you will find that the court and the application is maybe, can it be party to party costs? Can it be attorney client costs? Can it be punitive costs? So depending which one the court grants is what you're going to get. So if you paid 100,000, if it's party to party, you might end up getting 30,000, because it still has to go through the taxing master, who's going to tax your bill of costs and say, this one is, I can understand, this one is not going to be billed, this one's going to be billed, and remove all of those things, and then keep what they believe is what can be
costing.
Yes, and then it cuts whatever amount that you would receive by a very huge amount. So it and also that's why I'm saying it's not a guarantee that you pay 100k you're going to get back 100k. Usually punitive costs are what will get you your 100k back in its entirety, because it shows that your attorney, the attorney of the opponent, was so reckless in the way they drafted their papers. They didn't understand the law, therefore wasting the time of everybody,
the court and everyone.
Exactly. So that's where punitive costs come. With criminal law, you do not get costs at all. There's no cost order at all that can be applied there. But if you happen to be found not guilty, you do have the option to sue this person.
Okay.
And then you can sue them to get the costs and all of that.
After all of that.
But in criminal cases, no presiding officer is going to issue costs, because it's state versus the accused. It's not...
Usually, it's not a person in Tabiseng versus Pimel.
Correct.
Because the state would be the one, who's going to be taking you to court for murder or whatever.
Exactly.
Okay. I'm going to take more of your calls on 086-086-000959, and you can send voice note on 063-688-0959. Very happy to take anonymous calls, by the way, because these things sometimes can be quite sensitive. So Tabiseng is very happy to do that. Tabiseng, let's quickly ask a question that's just come through on Twitter about, you were talking to us about free wills the other day.
Yes.
And this person says, well, you know, one of the things that is surprising to me is that after the presentation we were given, not yours.
Yeah.
I think that I've been seeing there are a lot of events around
this time. Yeah.
Why is there a cost associated with putting together a will, and what seems to be like a policy for putting together a will?
I don't know. Was it maybe an insurance company or a financial institution?
Estate.
That would be the only reason why
the
I
estate.
Can think
yes.
of
yes.
that there's an amount attached to it. Because, like I always say, I'm not the biggest fan of having wills done by a financial institution, because 90% of the time the attorneys are in-house. They don't go out to go and practice. And therefore, when it comes to the winding up of the estate, for example, there's a shortfall. If when they look at the L&D account, they're like, there's a shortfall, so we're not going to get our money's worth here. They sometimes drop clients in the middle of finalizing the estate.
Wow.
And then now the clients now have to scramble to
find somebody.
You see what I mean? So those are the institutions usually that will make you pay a certain amount for drafting of a will. But an attorney's office, especially this week, the 16th to the 20th, it is free of charge. If the attorney is participating with the LPC thing and the lead thing, wherein in that week they're doing wills for free,
That's for free.
There's no amount that you're going to pay. Anything before that date, after that date, it's up to that firm's discretion whether or not you're going to pay.
Yeah.
Because like I said, September, the entire September is wills month. So attorneys are at the one compulsory free week is 16 to 20 September. But any other time, if the law firm is willing to do them for free for the whole of September, that's their prerogative as well. Because sometimes it's extended. The lead actually sends emails to different firms who've registered to say that we are going to be doing wills for free and ask, can you extend by another week because we have an influx of clients. Can we send them to you? And then, yeah.
All right. We've got a call from Anonymous. Hello, Anonymous.
Hello, Gunjani.
Gunjani, Puti.
Ngikhona manje ngicela ukubuza manje.
Yeah.
Lo sisi lo bekashadile, ne?
Mhm.
Bekashadile washonelwa indoda. Makashonelwa indoda kunemali azitholayo. Manje ngakhona ukushada na futhi kwesithuwa bazostopa le mali le ayitholayo.
No, angashada shame doesn't stop anything. She'll be fine. She mustn't stress. But if estate has not been completely wound up, just wait for a little bit so the estate is done and dusted, because on the system it will say like isele ntabiseng mangmang instead of ntabiseng dubazana. You know, so yeah. just wait kancane nje just to wind up the estate niqede, and then after that you can continue, because it will now reflect to her ID number, so it doesn't matter ukuthi her surname ichinjile or not.
Oh, just
kancane nje. Just wait ukuthi estate iphele, ne? Just wait kancane nje. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mara dala lomntoko washona ngoba.
Ushone nini?
More than 7 years.
In that case, estate iphelile, bayawindile up, bagqedile. And if basapata le imali into her account for the past 7 years, again, it changed just because ushadile. So, ningashada again, right?
Ngashada.
Yeah.
And then,
Yeah, she's free to do that.
Hey, manje ngicela ukuthulile.
No, ngeke bayistop. It's okay because bay understand ukuthi impilo yaqhubeka ngithi.
Okay. Yeah. You're right. Thanks, ngiyabonga.
No stress, but.
All right.
I've got a voice note coming through.
I just want to ask, my mom deposited money at an ATM sometime in December last year, and unfortunately it was an incorrect account. She made an error. So she's been trying to speak to the bank. It's just been a battle ever since. They never gave her the form to fill in so that they could reverse the money. Only later on, when I intervened and complained, they now started speaking to her, and they advised her that that particular business account that the money went into was an overdraft and they cannot get that money back. They said she needs to approach a small claims court in order to get her money back. The bank is just not willing to assist. Up till this point, it's going for a year now and they're just quiet. They're not saying anything. She's the one that does the follow-ups, and it's just heartbreaking, honestly. So what can she do? Does she have to go to small claims, as they said, or is there another way she can get her money back from this so-called company?
Hi, unfortunately, mom is stuck. There's nothing she can do because it is not the bank's fault that you made an incorrect entry in terms of a bank account. I remember when I did exactly the same thing a few years ago, the only reason that I was able to get my money back, even though I had deposited into the wrong account, is that immediately after realizing that, I was right next to the door of the bank. I walked in, and when they checked the camera, it was less than 30 seconds after I deposited that I went in. And then they were like, because you acted so promptly, we are in a position to assist you. And then I was able to get my money back. But if mom deposited and then realized maybe 3 hours later or whatnot, there's nothing the bank can do, because it is not a fault on them that you did the error.
You made the mistake.
Correct. And what banks usually say is that, I unfortunately contact that person and ask them to
bring it back.
The money. And if they refuse,
I have deposited money into the wrong person's account.
Yeah.
And they were very decent. They brought it back.
Yeah. And Mong will tell you, it's my day today.
My lucky day.
Sharp. And then what are you going to do? Because it's not, you can open a case here, theft, course. It's not theirs. You've informed them that it was an error. They knew it didn't belong to them. Therefore, it can be seen as theft. You can do what they're saying, go to a small claims court, depending how much the amount is, try and get it back.
And the trouble.
all of that. So unfortunately, the bank is not going to be the one who is proactive to try and get back the money that you incorrectly put into a bank account.
Mm. Yeah. Okay, should we take a quick break? And we'll continue those calls, 086-000-00959, any legal matter. And Tabi Singh is here to help you understand it, to help you maybe get to the bottom of it, free of charge. And you can send voice notes on 063-688-0959. Thanks so much for staying with us. We take your calls, and Thabiso Ntubazana is here. She is our legal expert, and she's very happy to look at your questions. Any legal matter, she'll try and assist. Okay. There has been, there was a long email that we got from a guy called Mike. Let me just look at it quickly. Mike is complaining about, I'm going to name the company because I don't think we can do it without it.
Okay.
Uber One. He says that he registered to Uber One, no problem, because he uses a service, Uber service. But he then subsequently discovered that there were monies that were debited off what I think he says are subscription fees, debited off his account quite randomly. Every now and then there'd be a 50 rand there, 50 rand there, 90 rand there, whatever, whatever. And he thought this was a fraudulent transaction until he went to the bank. They said, no, these are Ubers. He says the problem here he has is that these are not authorized debits and these are not authorized subscriptions. He was under the impression that he was paying this once off, I think it's a once off per subscription, and that was that. But randomly, there's always money coming out. He then says he went and then took off his bank card that he used this to get to subscribe to this, is this, Uber One?
Yeah.
And was no longer using that card, used other cards he has. He says, but then he discovered that they had debited and a credit card he's not using, and that's not necessarily listed on Uber. It's a credit card he had used when he started being an Uber customer long ago, and that was that. So his complaint is that he's been trying to reach the company, nobody's responding, but this fraudulent, what he believes are fraudulent transactions on his account. And I think I remember it being something called a debit check. I don't know whether it's the same thing, but he is so sick and tired because he has to keep going back to the bank to say, well, I did not authorize this transaction. I'm keen to hear whether people are having the same problem, because he says when he then spoke to the bank, initially they said they had not heard of anything like this. And then subsequently when they got back to him, they said, well, actually, it looks like a lot of you are having the same problem.
Mm.
What should he be doing? Because we all know we can't get hold of Uber.
Yeah, no, and we don't have contract subordinate to see what it is exactly that when you sign up to do this,
and
what
he
does
says
it entail?
He's part of his biggest problem is that he cannot sign, he cannot opt out, and he has tried to check on the app. Very difficult to opt out. He's been trying to opt out of this credit thingy. I think it's a rewards thing program. It's not easy to opt out. Isn't that, it happens a lot, this not being able to opt out of subscriptions, and you can click and click and click, and then it kind of reinstates itself.
But what I do know about credit cards, or sorry, any bank card that you put any subscription on, it requires you putting in the bank card and the CVV number and everything. Therefore, it means you're giving that institution the thumbs up to do whatever it is that you have subscribed to do. The fact that you are not aware that in that one subscription there were maybe 10 others beneath it that feed that one subscription doesn't necessarily mean that it is fraudulent.
Yes, it's, I sure don't think it's fraudulent as well.
I don't think
it's the T's and C's.
Exactly.
It's the T's and C's.
It's just that you don't have access to what these T's and C's are, because that's unfortunately the downside of the Uber Bolt kind of situation. So I don't know if you would have a leg to stand on, criminally or civilly. I don't think there's anything that they can do, because you can send as many emails. Maybe if you get an attorney to send a letter of demand to request the T's and C's and an understanding of what is happening, maybe you will get something out of it. And if you choose to take it civilly and whatnot, perhaps as a result of a matter being in the court, they would be forced to give you some kind of documentation, but that doesn't guarantee that it is actually an illegal transaction. So yeah.
All right, T is calling us from Midrand. Hey T.
Hi, good morning. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
All right. I actually have a question, obviously, on the back of my situation.
Mm.
And have you seen, the question is obviously directed to you. When the company is liquidated,
yes.
Usually in your knowledge, how long does it take to wind up everything and so on? Because I tell you, I did work for a company which was liquidated.
Mm.
And at the end, it ended up with the lawyers and so on, but I had to find out so that I approached the lawyers to do follow-ups and so on.
Mm.
So I'm still waiting. So I don't know how long do they take usually to wind up everything.
There's really no actual time frame that is going to take 6 months or a year. It depends on the company's liabilities, Horina, how bad they are, how many creditors are there. That's why when a liquidator is appointed, they first need to find out, Hore, the assets versus the liabilities, what does it look like? And then the creditors are then informed that, listen, company X is being liquidated at this current moment. If you have any claims, please come through. And if the creditors are more than the assets, then it poses an issue because now it means the owners of the business may be forced to fork money out from their own pockets, which they probably don't have. Or it could be a situation wherein the liquidator has to now come into an agreement with the creditors to say, instead of getting your 100,000 each that you all are owed by this particular company, how's about based on the monies or the assets that are there, you most likely will probably get out of here with 20,000 rand each. Are you willing to compromise that much? Nah. And then that is signed. So these, unfortunately, are things that you cannot see as a contributing factor until you start the liquidation process.
All right, okay. Mm-hmm. And then just a last question to that. Usually that process, who does it prioritize? Because I just heard with rumors that they normally prioritize the banks, if the company owes the banks.
Creditors,
like
as long as you're a creditor. So banks usually are a creditor because they would have probably gotten a loan, a business loan, or they would have probably gotten a bond for the building where the business was operating from. So as long as you are a creditor, we start there. Everybody else will follow afterwards.
All right. Okay. No, it makes sense. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, T. Sbu. Interfontein, hello and welcome.
Hey, how's it?
Good. Yeah, how are you?
Good. I don't know if this can work. The gentleman with the subscription, right?
Yeah.
The Uber subscription?
Yes.
So, that subscription is based on the card and the, what's that, three digit code, CVV or something?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So, if you report that card is lost or stolen, it cancels that, right? Then they can't debit.
Yes, that is exactly what happened, except that he says, remember how sometimes you can add a card on the service?
The app, yeah.
So he removed that, cancelled that. However, there's a card he once used before where they just went for that card
mm-hmm.
and just yanked the money from it.
Okay.
So are you going to be shutting down all your bank accounts? I mean, just for
because
50 rand?
What I want to confirm, if you cancel your card and you order another one, you get a different CVV, right?
Yeah.
So I'm sure, I don't think it's more than two or three cards. Cancel the cards and report them as lost and get new ones.
But what we can gather is that he wants to continue using this app because he says he cancelled this one and then he loaded another one.
Yeah.
And then there was an older one that he used. So if he doesn't want to use the app anymore, he can cancel them, then, you know, he'll be fine.
The problem is that he wants to continue using the service because he does use the service.
So if that subscription bounces, let's say, two or three times, don't they just...
No,
the
no. You know how I think the debit check problem was exactly the same.
Mm.
Where if your transaction or this whatever it is less than 99,
it doesn't
less than 100 rand.
Yes, 100.
It just goes through. It just goes through, and so it's one of those. If it's a 50 rand there and a 50 rand there, and maybe some of us who are users of the app just don't check.
Mm.
Maybe but there are many 40 rands and 50 rands that are going and you don't check your statement.
You know what? If you're a service provider and there's a part of your service that I'm enjoying but there's a part of the service that annoys me even more. You lose me as a customer.
Ivan, so you see now.
Yeah, because you're saying that he still wants to use it for something else.
Because, let's be realistic. I am a Patco Bus user, ne? And the Patco Bus is the most reliable, and it is one I can afford from home to work. It doesn't matter how upset I am. If that's the only option I have, what do you expect me to do? Opt out?
Uber and Patco.
No, it's exactly the same. The man feels that this is an e-hailing service. This is an e-hailing service that he can trust.
Mm.
People have reasons for choosing whichever e-hailing services that they choose.
Are they not on social media? I don't know about Uber.
When I ask us, we can tell you where to find Uber. No way. And that social media thing doesn't faze them at all. Don't worry. They're not like the other companies that jump as soon as somebody makes a noise. No, that doesn't happen with Uber. Uber just watches you people.
Okay, I'm curious about this one. I think I'll do a little bit of research myself.
Yeah,
let us know.
So the thing, can I just touch on the lawyer fees one, whereby I think if you win the case, you need to get a little bit of payback,
yes,
right?
Yes.
A public figure, Ms. Unathi Ngari, in her interview, she mentions that she won a case against Media 24, if I remember correctly. And she spent, if I remember correctly, about 750K, but only got paid back after winning the case around 20K.
Yeah.
Can you get that drastic?
So, yes, it can. Because remember, attorneys, there are fees that are within the government gazette, but attorneys are not bound by those fees that are there, right? So the scale A, B, C and D, but we have our own fees on how it is that we choose to charge our clients. So in that particular situation, that amount, I can almost guarantee that there was counsel fees that were attached there. So a counsel Mohlomong charges like 10,000 rand per hour, and then there were settling papers and stuff like that. So, and drafting and phone calls and emails, that's how it got up to 750,000 inclusive of appearing in court. So that is the amount that she paid. So when she was awarded, most likely she was awarded party to party, which is the lowest scale that you can get. So there is attorney client, there's party to party, and then there's punitive cost, which is the highest that you will ever get. So if the order read that costs are awarded party to party inclusive of, let's say, two counsel, then what happens is that we need to draft what we call our bill of costs and serve it to the other attorney. If they oppose it, then it needs to be before the taxing master, who will then look at it. Even if they don't oppose it, the taxing master still has to go through your bill of costs. And when they go through it with a fine tooth comb, they say, this one doesn't fall within something that we can bill. Let's let it go. That tank 30,000. This one doesn't fall within what we can bill. And then by the time that the taxing master is done with all of that, from the 750, you could end up with 20,000 rand. Yes, it's likely. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks a lot.
I'll
have a look at the Uber one and tell you guys next week.
Sure. Cool. Thanks, Wu. Philip in Springs, good evening and welcome.
Hi, everyone.
Hi, Philip.
I'm surprised that you guys are talking about the Uber transaction. Not so long ago, I was just checking on my PayPTech account to see if all the transactions that are going off my account are all valid transactions. So on the 31st of July, I saw there was a transaction for $50 that is with a description of Uber. So I've never used Uber before, so I was surprised. Why do I have Uber on my transaction? Mm. So, but one thing that I did, I just like to thank Epitech for that option, is I was able to turn off all my online transactions.
So hang on, Philip. You had never used Uber?
No.
Even Uber Eats?
No. I tried to...
That is so interesting.
to be disciplined in that department.
That is so interesting.
That is so cool, actually.
So you still had this transaction go through even though you've never ever used Uber or Uber Eats.
No. So, but I think I once registered, just that I've never transacted before.
Uh-huh. So they have your details.
Like, yeah, we got you there. Yeah. Okay. No, it's good. It's good that Capitec assisted in that.
Sure. Thanks, man, Philip. Thank you. All right. Let's take a listen to a voice note.
At 2010, kile ka thola ka accident and then akiso thole niks but spetlele se patetswe and then lawyer e ke ni tshimong so ha ke understand le hobane ane kile mo ba re spetlele se patetswe but na ha ke fumana niks ka mo ke leme e kopa o tseba hore ke tabe lukiswang jwang ye.
Right, there are so many cases that so silent and that di bohloko.
You know, I wish we could speak to him because I'm curious whether this was the state that was paying. Was this payment by the brokers? Was it payment by the maybe where he works? It has many, many implications. Because as you know, if he got injured, maybe go msebenzini, for instance, there is a process where sometimes the employer has what, let's call them a broker, that pays in advance for your medical attention while they claim through the state.
Yes. Workman's compensation.
Absolutely. So the compensation fund will process your claim using this let's call them the middle person, who will then advance your company and also pay the hospital or the doctor so that you can get immediate attention. The problem sometimes comes in where the contract they have with the middle person, whether it is the state as well as the broker, while they also assist you to get medical attention, there are fees there, my brother. And those fees are not easy. They are sometimes quite difficult to get the money from the compensation fund because that can be a process that I think sometimes it's 1 or 2 years before they actually pay out. So that takes a long time. But apart from that, there are agreements amongst themselves which don't include you.
True.
And if that money has run out, then there's nothing left for you to get anything, but you got medical attention.
Yes.
So one of the things they can do is to just sue if they got injured in the workplace or if it was negligent, let's say. It was negligent.
If it was that, or if it was a pure just car crash and then he ended up being hospitalized and all of that, if Vele, the attorney, ukeni boning, like he says, firstly, find out if this attorney is registered with the LPC. Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. Obana, whenever you go and appoint an attorney, once Ntabise says to you, I can help and I'm an attorney, say pause. Go to the LPC website. See if this person exists. If they're not there, do not continue with Ntabise. Otherwise, you'll be dealing with a situation where Ntabise won't get nipponing and you don't have your money. So if this person is registered with the LPC, the Fidelity Fund already, there's insurance that goes with you being registered with the Fidelity Fund. So if your money has disappeared as a result, they can pay you from that.
Another thing, I don't remember the gentleman's name. I'm sorry, but another thing you can do though on your own, you are able to go into the states, let's say it's a compensation fund or all the other agencies. You can track your, if you were able to get, I don't know if it's called a case number or whatever it's called, maybe by way of your names you can do that. You're able to track whether people were paid, how much they were paid.
Yes.
You can check that. The state has got that information online. It is readily available.
Yes.
You can ask them to track for you, especially if you know who was paying out the money.
Yeah.
And sometimes maybe the money was not paid out yet, maybe. But you'll be able to trace that. Empowerment Fund, go to all the relevant agencies and see who paid. Was it Road Accident Fund that paid? Check
just
who paid
out.
Yeah.
And then, if the money was paid in the trust account of the attorney,
then you can take it forward.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm so sorry. We've run out of time, folks. We can do this again next week.
Next week.
Thanks, everybody. I'll be back tomorrow at 8.
See the world.
Under the guise of freedom of speech, people then go out there and they propagate their own views, which may or may not be prejudicial. Jonathan Shapiro himself, if you watch his cartoons and you've read, hey, guys.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.